Welcome to Russia.
Different class!
Get it back up! Get it back up! Get it back up!
Goal for South Africa! Goal for all Africa!
I want my players to win, but I also want my players to go on a holiday.
This is it! That's the goal! Spain have surely won the World Cup!
Some people are on the pitch, they think it's all over.
Andre Schürrle, it's 7!
The nation holds its breath.
Since Archie Gemmell scored against Holland in 1978.
All right, welcome along to Team 33. I'm Raf Giallo. You can get in touch with us on Twitter at Team 33. That's all in words. We're also on Facebook and also on iTunes. So no Joe Coffey here today, but we are going to Gogglebox, as we have done in the last couple of weeks, just having a game on the background, and it's no bigger game than France and Belgium World Cup semi-final. At this point in time, while we're recording, there's about 11 minutes left, and Belgium are trailing 1-0 after Umtiti's header from a corner. Derek Ryan and Killian Woods are here.
Raf. Hello, Raf. How are you?
Now, have you caught much of this game?
No, I've only after walking in the door. Killian's been watching it.
I know I've been watching good chunks of it. Of Belgium looking much more, and I'm sure everyone listening to this will know exactly, well, everyone will know the result of this unless they're saving themselves.
Yeah.
Belgium looking much more lively. France sitting back very deep. It could go either way. It could be France 2. I think there could be a leveler in it, or France could win 2-3 nil as Belgium chases. But then that's really sitting on the fence.
That's really some good insight there, Killian.
Well, no,
thanks,
I'm saying it won't say 1-0 is what I'm saying.
That's the issue for France with me, is in like they have the potential and the players to go on and you know,
I think it's a real
win
shame.
A game 2-3
it's
nil.
A really shame, like what they've. Again, you do what you do to win a tournament.
Yeah,
they're trying to win a tournament. But it is, and again, I don't necessarily must beat down on them for that. They're playing to their means and they're trying to win a tournament.
But no, they're not playing to their means, but that's the point.
It's sad to see such a collection of players. They're one of their greatest collection of players and could possibly rival the greatest collection since or above France 98, where they actually won the tournament, and they're resorting to sitting back.
Oh!
They had no, like there was an
great
attack.
Save by Lloris.
There was an attack a few minutes ago there, and they just had no one forward. Even attack. They're sitting back. It was the 71st minute.
It's a shame, but it's not sad because they could easily win the World Cup. That's not sad. You know what I mean? I know what you mean, but it's a shame that they're not going all out with the potential they have and the players they have to go out and win this game 2-3 nil when they're 1-0 up with 15 minutes to go. But it's not, you know, not sad insofar as they could easily win the World Cup. They're one game away. If they win this, they're one game away from winning the World Cup.
I think it is sad with the collection of players they have that they have. Again, they shouldn't change now. This is what they've built towards. They've built towards having this system. They shouldn't change it now because if they change now, they'll be hockeyed. But it's that they've known for the last 2 years. Deschamps has known for even before that what he has in his hands to mould. And this is what the best solution he could come up with was this. Like it's just I think it is a bit pathetic for, and it shows his limitations as a coach.
I'd agree with that.
I could be talking about the limitations of a World Cup winning coach here.
No, absolutely. I know. I agree with you.
It's not like he hasn't seen the writing on the wall. You know, like he knows these sort of players are coming through. He knows he's from 2016. They look really tasty team, and they've lost some of those fulcrums of the team. Like Payet, I'm not sure. Maybe Payet would have been playing in this team. Might have changed that up a bit, but It's just a shame for what they've resorted to.
So we'll keep following these last few minutes anyway as they come up. And then later on in the show, there's Alan Moore, who we've had on many a time from Capital FM Moscow. I was chatting to him earlier in the week. And just to talk a bit about the Russian team itself, their surprise rise, but also the legacy that the tournament will leave as well. And then just before we get to, I suppose, Ronaldo and Juventus is quite a... It's a move I think we had seen coming for the last few days, but it's obviously interesting given his legacy, and Derek seems to want to say something. Before we get to your thoughts on it.
It's been a bit of a shock to me. How long has the writing been on the wall for? Maybe I'm not... See, I don't like transfer gossip. And there's a tournament of football going on.
Killian, stop talking about this. We're going to talk about it in a few minutes' time.
No, we will in a second. I just want... Actually, there was a...
Shut up, Killian.
Just for people, the World Cup final obviously is this Sunday, and there is a table quiz and a World Cup themed one going on at the Aviva Stadium. It's for Muscular Dystrophy Ireland, and it's supported by Aviva Ireland and the Irish Quiz Organisation. So if you want to head over cover. They'll actually have the game screened in the Aviva Stadium, and so you can watch the final. There'll be drinks, food, etc. And there's a grand prize of 1,000, and there's space for 70 teams. So, but it's anyway, the important thing, it's all going to a great cause, which is Muscular Dystrophy Ireland. So we tweeted out a link to the Facebook event page, and if you go, I think, to Monday, you'll find it there. So that's worth a shout anyway.
I think I'm very intelligent and very good at table quizzes. Then I get to table quizzes and I'm generally not that great.
Hey, you're a winner. Remember we went to the one in Coppers there?
Yeah, but where did we come?
We were top four until the last round.
Yeah, and I missed quite a few of those rounds.
Was this a Team 33
game?
No, you weren't invited, Raf. Sorry.
Gav was propping up the team, maybe. He answered every single question.
You have a very intelligent friend that supported us all.
No, TV3's Gavin Riley.
I know a lot of. Yeah, I know a lot of random.
Big football fan. Yeah.
Big
football.
A big fan of just knowledge.
But I know a lot of random stuff, so I think I'd be great at table quizzes. And then, like, a table quiz comes around and I don't know an awful lot
of
those
quirky
questions.
Rounds. Like, you know, I saw a great one recently where it was just. Name the ground by its by Google. Oh, but that was that table quiz. Name the ground by Google Maps.
Oh yeah,
and it was an overview. And it's like, and you're kind of trying picking out. Oh, this is like
an
old stadium. That's somewhere in England or whatever, Southampton's or whatever.
I'm very bad at movies and music, so when those rounds come on, I may as well just head to the bar. And that's generally what I do because I don't...
That's where people get frustrated at table quizzes because they think they know a lot about those sort of things. And then someone starts to make a table quiz. Well, I don't want to make it easy. And they throw in these kind of obscure ones.
Yeah.
I made a table quiz before and I got booed for a round.
Sorry about that. I was just quite angry with the questions.
Well, I got booed for making a Wes Anderson round. But anyway.
Anyway, from Wes Anderson to Cristiano Ronaldo.
Killian didn't see this coming.
No, he didn't.
Well, yeah, I just don't follow transfer rumours during a World Cup
cycle.
Yeah,
the problem with this Ronaldo thing, every summer there has been this, I feel sad, I want to leave, he gets a new contract, a little bit of extra pay, and everything seems to...
Is it the first time that it's been to a club that hasn't been Manchester United or Paris Saint-Germain? Like, that's the rumour being for the last... Since Moyes' year at United, it was he's coming back to United or else he's going to Paris Saint-Germain. So this is the first year. That's not to say it was any more believable, but it was the first year that I was kind of outside of those two clubs where it was just going to be either a romantic return to United or a mega bulk move.
Have Juventus come out of nowhere as of this summer? Because it was meant to be United or PSG.
I wasn't privy to or what's in his actual contract because, of course, Jorge Mendes would not trust me with that type of information. I don't, in fact, know Jorge Mendes, but if you do want to send me on the contract, that I can have a look at Ronaldo's deals and stuff.
He has a company. One of his companies is based out of Ireland, so you know, mightn't be some of that money might be funneled through his Irish limited company.
Either way, please send me the contract. Anyway, no, the main thing is, I think there was supposedly the talk was there's a clause that prevented him moving to either Barcelona or
which is fair enough,
or PSG. Now PSG because they're a viable European rival down the line,
and they don't see Juventus as a viable rival.
That would be the implication. Now, I don't know if that is specifically true, but because, again, who has actually seen the actual wording in a contract? Who's seen the clauses? The Manchester United thing, it's because him and Mourinho don't see eye to eye. I don't think United...
I thought
really
they did see eye to eye at Real. I thought...
No.
They didn't before Real, but I thought at Real...
I think
their
relationship isn't quite as good as you might think.
I remember Mourinho slagged off Ronaldo when he's at United. So I always thought their relationship wasn't great, but I thought at Real it was a bit better, but I don't know their intimate details about their lives. But
he seemed to go through fits of arguing with different players at different times.
Yeah.
Consistently, Sergio Ramos, but in different pockets.
I think it would have been a mistake to go to United, actually, and Ronaldo's a cracking player, obviously, but he would have meant probably dropping Lukaku or changing Lukaku's role in the team.
They also just bought Sanchez, you know, all these sort of players.
I just don't know where he would have fitted into the team without impacting on the likes of Sanchez or Lukaku or Rashford. You know, I love Ronaldo and it's a great signing for Juve, even though he's obviously coming towards the end of his unbelievable career or not coming towards the end, but he's on the wrong side of 30. He's still in unbelievable form, obviously, as we saw in this World Cup, and he could go on for another two or three years, absolutely on fire.
Would you bet against him leading Juventus to the Champions League, a Champions League win next year? You know,
Did I see him score 108? He scored 180 goals or something in the last three seasons, something like that. He could easily do something similar. Like the role he plays, I think he could do a great job in Italy. So I think it's a great move for Juve. Mm. It, first of all, pose the question of what are Juve going to do? How are they going to set up now because of the players that they have? Is someone leaving? Is Diabala, for example, potentially leaving Juve?
Was that not just an Adrian Collins rumour dropped into the, into the WhatsApp group that may have no basis in
the
fact?
The extent of my transfer gossip
I
is
think
from
that
Adrian
might,
Collins
that might have been a case
wishlist.
Of trolling or a wish list of some sort. Like, it'd be a great move if Liverpool did get Diabala, but I don't really see it.
Yeah, but I wonder, like, what are they going to do elsewhere in their team? Because obviously the way they set up, like, Ronaldo doesn't fit very comfortably into the team, bar someone leaving, you would guess.
Yeah. Now, Higuain, there was a rumour Chelsea might go in for him, and if Ronaldo is going to complete his transformation of being going from winger to striker, maybe that's something that could happen.
And then you look at Real, and what are they going to do? And I said...
Should they also have Mandzukic on their books as well, right? Yeah, sorry, yeah.
I think it was quite obvious, though, from a couple of months back when Real were having their catastrophic season league-wise, even though they won the Champions League, that they were going to completely... change up, alter their front line, at least, if not their midfield as well. Ronaldo gone would spell that. He wouldn't be surprised if Benzema left as well, and they brought in a couple of players. Hazard is one of those players. He's playing at the moment. I would be surprised to see him start the new season at Chelsea, especially the way things are going at Chelsea, where it still looks like they're going to sack their manager, even though it's now mid-July.
Conte's not gone,
Hazard, I think, is definitely going to go there, and I would not be surprised if they threw the cash at Spurs and... through 200 mil for Harry Kane, 200 mil or something crazy like that, because Spurs will need the money insofar as they have a new stadium they need to pay off, and 200 mil will go a long way towards doing that. The only thing is, how do you replace Harry Kane in a Spurs team? But I would not be surprised if they launched a massive bid to sign Harry Kane, especially if he finishes the World Cup as top scorer, which looks like he's going to do.
Yeah, so as things are going here, we're going to see the team that are going to face England in the World Cup final. Obviously, we don't know whether England are getting there yet, but football is coming home. So we're on, where is it? It's 90 minutes, or, well, it's past 90 minutes, 6 minutes of injury time, and France are trying to get the ball into the corners. Let's talk England. So obviously, you watched the Sweden game, I presume.
Yep.
Yeah. It was a efficient performance. I've been impressed by them. I think it's more the mental side.
Can we not write out, like, the England were worthy victors of that game.
Like,
they deserved to win that game. But like, Sweden had three clear-cut chances. Sweden were good for a goal and quite unlucky. Only for Jordan Pickford. Against most goalkeepers, one of those would have gone in, I feel.
Yeah.
Not just he's the goal standard. But against an average keeper, let's say an average World Cup keeper, some of those Marcus Berg chances would have gone in. You know, so I think they were good for a goal. Sweden weren't as bad as people are making it out to be. You know, they were just, you know,
they're
really showed up limit. They had limitations.
They're very limited.
And I'm not. And again, I've heard positive that maybe
I think they conceded too early. Maybe
Zlatan
as well
had
them.
One of those chances. He probably slots one of those chances. But then again, are Sweden even at the World Cup? Are Sweden even that far in the tournament with someone like him holding them back mentally?
I do think that they conceded too early. Sweden, insofar as they probably need to keep it. Nil all for longer if they
one
were,
nil
if
they
were
the way they
or one
through.
Nil at the
or
very
penalties
at the very worst.
The way they were going through. You know,
well, even if they kept it at 1-0, but the fact it was 2-0 kind of meant it was kind of
again they were very limited in the first half. England then got cagey, let Sweden take control, not for prolonged phases, but in kind of little pockets, and Sweden created three good chances, three very scorable chances again that they just didn't take, and I thought they were better than people making them out to be. And that would make me think, not that England are definitely going to lose tomorrow, but that, you know, Croatia think are going to create much more of those chances and have to stand a much better chance of converting one of those.
I do
agree. England are good for a goal. England are good for, and I think this whole thing about Croatia, about all these teams that are going to come up against will be better defending corners. England are just have a...
No, they do.
I don't think it matters who they face.
The quality
they have a very
pieces.
Good chance of scoring one set piece every game.
Yeah.
And there's no point beating them. I was kind of maybe looking down them a bit during the tournament thinking, oh, you know, if you're relying on corners, you get your goals how you get them. And I think they're good for a goal against most teams. I can't really think of defence in this tournament that will keep them out. Maybe Uruguay looks shit once they kind of lost a bit of their power, like kind of when Cavani went off and they kind of lost a bit of their energy. They didn't look as solid defensively against France as well, but I can't think of some team that would definitely shut out England's this set piece thing that they've got worked out.
I wonder, will Croatia, the fact that they played obviously 120 minutes plus penalties against Russia the other day, affect them insofar as, you know, England didn't have to do that.
Yeah.
I wonder if the game does go that far and goes to extra time as well, as potentially it obviously may do, then I wonder if that'll affect...
You know, Luka Modric looks out in his feet.
And that's the issue. Like I say, if it's done in 90 minutes, you'd expect them to be fine. But if it goes any further than that, that could really come back to haunt them, the fact that the game went to penalties.
But also, look at this Croatian side. Like, again, they conceded some... Well, okay, the Russian first goal was one of the best goals of the tournament. Yeah. That was, they got torn apart, like their defence, that was nearly unsavable. But you think about the set piece they conceded against Russia.
And the 115th minute, that was an awful goal to concede.
Yeah, absolutely.
That late in the game.
And we're talking about Harry Kane going and the English, whatever, that force of Harry Maguire and John Stones, who now seems to be a threat at set pieces. I was ever considered John Stones a threat at set pieces. Yeah, yeah. But all these players who are really big threat to set pieces going up against Dejan Lovren, who, like earlier, it's mad you think, like, to see the game that Dejan Lovren had in Wembley where he... You know, it looked like his career was over. Like, where do you go back? Where do you bounce back from here? Now he's in the semi-final, but you could see it all kind of turning back around to that kind of like horror performance for Dejan Lovren. Like, is he going to shut out Harry Kane again?
Like, for me, the two semi-finals are very finely balanced. Again, there's only a couple of minutes left in this game that we're watching, France and Belgium. I think these are the two best teams left in the competition, and Croatia, England are third and fourth in that regard. So I think they're two very finely balanced semi-finals, and I do think it'll be very tight. As you expect in a World Cup semi-final, it's not going to be, you'd expect a 5 or 6 or 7-1. It'd never be 7-1 in a World Cup semi-final. But you know what I mean? I do think that these games are quite tight. So either team could win it. I expect if France win this, that they will win the World Cup. But you don't know. I mean, it's a World Cup final. The best team doesn't necessarily always win, as shown by the Euros 2 years ago.
Do France need to take the initiative? Who takes the initiative in the game? Because there's always one. Yeah. No matter who takes the initiative in France, England? If England get through, who takes the...
They haven't really been sitting back. You know what I mean? So they haven't really been playing with 10 men behind the ball.
Both teams are suited to others kind of taking the initiative in terms of the ball and then hitting them on the break. But England have actually had a decent amount of possession in their games.
Yeah, and I think both teams can mix it up. Certainly England, can do a bit more with the ball than they would otherwise.
It's going to be 2-0 here, is it? No. Great save, Courtois, who was very good against Brazil as well. Very, very good. So we're at 95 minutes and 24,
call
5,
it,
6,
just call
seconds.
It.
Yeah, there's only 30 seconds to go here before the referee blows it up.
So France to win the World Cup?
And our goggle box finishes early.
Do you think France win the World Cup?
Goggle book, that's a good show. Watch people read books. There you go.
It's better than Love Island. I've not actually watched Love Island yet, so... I'm only aware of it through Twitter. Is it any use?
It is any use.
I heard yourself and Joe talking about it outside
it
last week.
It is some use. I like Love Island. And I'm sure the fans, there's some overlap in Love Island and football fans, but when they were probably quite, the core Love Island fans were probably outraged with England.
Who's your favourite player from Love Island?
There's there's Danny Dyer's daughter.
Yeah, who's also called Danny Dyer.
She's probably my favourite.
Oh, France are into the World Cup final. Okay. Well done.
Team 33 has stooped to new lows. We have to fill the last 30 seconds of World Cup semi-final talking about Love Bloody
Island.
Kill
30 seconds. Well, yeah, exactly.
I'd have rather dead air. Bloody Love Island.
Who's going to win the Love Island final?
Is there a Love Island final?
Is that how it works?
Oh, it's sewn up. Jack and Danny. So Jack and Danny Dyer's daughter will win it.
I haven't been watching any of it.
Yeah, no, they're the by far they're definitely the runaway winners. Imagine they're the Man City of last season's Premier League. There's no way you're catching them. And you looked at them back in, like, let's say
who are they competing with?
Oh, that's not even.
Who's the?
It's not even
England.
There's not even a chase. There really isn't even a chasing pack. The gulf is. It's like, no. Do you know what?
I have no idea what you're talking about.
Man City doesn't actually go as far. They're probably like a Bayern Munich on one of their runaway seasons. Okay. Where you can't even, it's not even fair to say Dortmund are an also ran because they're just not. They're all fighting over. You're closer to relegation dealers than they were.
I think you're watching too much Love Island, Killian.
It's not such a thing. 1 hour every night for 8 weeks.
So who represents? Well, who's kind of like the England of Love Island?
What does that mean?
Before I'm trying to find a segue to take us back to football.
Just ask.
Arrogant, etc.
Are they arrogant? Would you call them arrogant?
Well, not this England, but England traditionally.
England in general, okay.
England of the golden generation era.
I'm guessing Danny Dyer is quite arrogant. Surely Danny Dyer...
They're actually quite level. Those two are quite level. Are they? She's gotten Jack kind of in line.
I would have thought Danny Dyer represents everything good and bad about England.
Okay, let's put an end to this. I'm tired of talking about Love Island. I'm distracted on my phone at the moment. So let's go back to the football.